B-Pod Studios.
Stay with us and we're going to show you how to take dead aim.
Take dead aim.
The importance of taking dead aim.
Welcome to Taking Dead Aim, a show dedicated to the game of golf and the people who play it in the Carolinas and around the world. Taking Dead Aim is a presentation of RBC Wealth Management and Academy Sports and Outdoors. And now, here's your host, the guy using your member number at the snack bar, Charlie Nance.
Hey there, welcome back. Once again, we're Taking Dead Aim, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter, at CLT underscore golf guy. The LPGA kicks off their season this week at the Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions down in Orlando. Where are we now on that tour? What's happened and what can happen to and for Michelle Wee? And is their commissioner, Michael Wan, pound for pound, the best in sports? All those questions and more answered by Ron Cyrak of ronsyrak.com and the Global Golf Post. Chris Lane is a country music superstar and former college athlete, and yes, he has the golf bug big time. At the end of last year, he also got to play on one of golf's most hallowed grounds. We'll talk Augusta and golf with him. And Ron Mintz, the golf guy for fansided.com. He'll stop by and talk about this, that, and the other thing on the PGA Tour as it's in Palm Springs this week. But we begin with the LPGA and Ron Cyrak. So let's talk about how much better the weather is where you are as opposed to where you call home.
Well, you know what? It's not all that much warmer up there. it's not as warm as I was hoping it would be. It's a little bit of a chilly day down here.
It's cold in Orlando?
Well, I mean, you know, relatively. It's in the 50s.
So, yeah. In other words, a great golfing day anywhere in the southeastern United States.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Ron, first off, I want to congratulate you on picking up some work with the Global Golf Post. They're an outstanding online publication, and you're going to do great things for them. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a new project I got going called that Global Golf Post Plus, and it's going to be a subscription service, and it'll be, no advertising, no clickbait, just go there and read about golf. So it'll be fun to do.
Well, and the first piece that you did for them was on Mike Wan, who's the commissioner of the LPGA. And I think that I can, and I know you can, I can make an argument that pound for pound, this guy may be the best professional sports commissioner going and maybe the best in quite a while.
Yeah, you think of, September of 2008, the stock market collapses. In 2009, sponsors are fleeing and running for cover. He takes over as commissioner in 2010. The LPGA is down to 23 tournaments, the fewest it's had since 1971, and he's brought it back to 34 tournaments now. He's driven prize money up from $40 million a year to $70 million a year. It's truly, truly remarkable what he's done, and a big part of what he did is he realized the LPGA is not a multi-billion dollar a year business that you can run from on high. It's more like a mom-and-pop grocery store. Job one, make the customers happy. Most important customers, the sponsors. He figured out a way so that he could deliver the best possible customer service with his players to the sponsors, and it's created a really solid pro tour.
You know, the thing that we talked about towards the end of the year was the elevation in prize money on the LPGA Tour and how that is a priority. And in fact, there are some tournaments that are coming up this year, and you know them better than I do, where the prize money may not be comparable to the men's tour, but it's closer than it's ever been.
Yeah, we got both the U.S. Open and the CME Group Tour Championship are going to have $5 million purses. Because the CME is a limited field event, there'll be about 60 players. There'll be 60 players in the field. The winner is going to get $1.5 million.
That's incredible.
That's an all-time record for women's golf, and that is pretty comparable to anything you're going to see on the men's tour. The other thing they got going this year is they've got this season-long competition on both the PGA Tour and the LPGA that Aonon's involved in, and they pick a hole every tournament. Whoever has the best stroke total on those holes at the end of the year gets $1 million, and it's $1 million bonus on both the men's tour and the women's tour. Again, a big important step towards bringing pay equality in women in pro golf.
Now, in terms of pay equality, it's one of these things that sort of, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? And I know that Juan is committed to customer service with his sponsors. And let's face it, that's where the prize money comes from. The sponsors are ponying up the bill. But whenever you're a sponsor, you kind of have to see return on investment. So I see the hesitancy to throw the big prize money. What's the plan to overcome that? How has he been working with that?
Well, the big chicken or big egg, whichever way you want to look at it, is TV money. If you look at the PGA Tour, there's about a 1-to-1 ratio between TV revenue coming in and prize money going out. If they're bringing $300 million a year in TV revenue in, they're paying out $300 million a year in prize money. You don't have the same thing on the LPGA. It's an important year for the LPGA. Their TV contract, their 10-year deal with Golf Channel is up, so they're going to be negotiating a new deal. They're going to look for something more lucrative than what they had. But one of the main things that Mike Wan's looking to do right now is to get more coverage on network television on the weekends. Golf Channel does a terrific, terrific job covering the LPGA. But when you're on Golf Channel, you're preaching to the choir. To reach the casual fan, to bring in new fans, to expand your base, you got to reach those people who are just sort of going around the dial and, hey, you know, what's on TV? It's sports. And you might stumble across the product on network TV, watch it, realize what a good product it is, and then you come back. So that's one of Juan's goals right now. Get expand their presence on network television on the weekends.
Is the way to do that to go the ABC ESPN route in terms of your renegotiation? I'm trying to figure out a way that you can, I mean, you've got the Golf Channel and perhaps NBC as well. I'm trying to figure out a way that you can wash both hands.
Yeah, you got, I think those are the two main ones right there, which, you know, there's Golf Channel, NBC, and you know, and Golf Channel brings something to the table that nobody else can bring, which is that's all they do is cover golf. So they're going to give you more bells and whistles and ancillary coverage than you're going to get anywhere else. But it does look like with ESPN now getting involved, not just in the Masters, but now they're going to be back involved in the PGA Championship, it looks like they're getting back into golf after they gave up the British Open and took a step back from tour coverage. Looks like they're going to be interested in getting back involved again. So I would expect them to be a player in the negotiations.
Yeah, and a good thing in the Golf Channel's favor, too, and you know this, their team that covers the LPGA covers it week in, week out, and they're committed to the product, they're excited about the product on the air, and they're extremely knowledgeable of the product week in, week out, which comes across in the broadcast experience.
Yeah, it's one of the things you need to do to become really good at golf coverage. You've got to cover golf a lot. You can't just like drop in a couple of times a year. It's a very extremely difficult sport to get up to speed on in terms of knowledge, to know who the players are, to know what the storylines are, to know what the courses are all about, and to develop the chemistry between your commentators. You know, you don't just have two or three guys sitting in a booth. You've got two or three guys sitting in a booth, but you also got several other people on the golf course, somebody else doing player interviews. You've got a lot of personalities that you've got to mesh together. And if you don't get enough reps in, you don't get better at developing the kind of chemistry that creates a really good product. And that is a huge advantage that the Golf Channel NBC model has.
Ron Cyrak of ronsyrak.com and the Global Golf Post is our guest taking Dead Aim. Something else that you pointed out in the Juan piece, and really I thought it was a tremendous analogy, talking about commissioners who came into leagues in some tough situations. You compared him to Pete Rozelle and David Stern, and I think about Rozelle. He was coming off of the greatest game ever played, yes, but he also had the AFL, and you had that whole controversy back in the 60s between those two leagues and battling it out. He had that problem to deal with. David Stern was dealing with an NBA that had an awful reputation of, you know, thugs and drug abuse. It was not good coming out of the 70s into the early 80s. I mean, for crying out loud, Magic Johnson's heroic Game 6 final was on tape delay. That's hard to imagine, but tape delay. The thing that saved Rozelle, I think, more than anything else is more than any game in the world, his is custom made for a little something we like to call television. And as sports television was coming into his own, so was football. I think that really benefited him, and Stern was saved by talent. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, later Michael Jordan. Who are the people, and I imagine that's the best way to do it, it's the Stern model, who are the people that Mike Wan would love to be able to hang his hat on and ride a wave for a while?
First off, you hit on a really great point, which is if you look at, and I went back, I started with Kennesaw Mountain Landis being the first commissioner of baseball after the Black Sox scandal. But all those commissioners of Landis and Roselle and Stern had larger-than-life personalities around which to market their sport. They had Babe Ruth. They had Vince Lombardi. They had the Steel Curtain. They had Magic Michael and Larry. So they had, and Juan sort of did it without building around a superstar, but selling his overall product. He just went out and said, their slogan is "See why it's different out here," and it is. These are the most accessible athletes that there are anywhere, and that's how he sold it. Come out, and you're going to have a great fan experience. You're going to have a great sponsor experience. That said, you look at to go forward. There's still probably nobody in women's golf since Nancy Lopez who moved the needle as much as Michelle Wee. You know, the one thing that the Wee camp did right was build up her Q rating. Everybody knows her name. Everybody's heard of her. Even if you don't know anything about golf, you know that name. If she could somehow overcome all the injuries and illnesses that she's had and become have a big year, have a consistent, and this would be a good year to do it with a TV contract up. But if she could have a breakthrough year, that could be huge. I think Lexi Thompson could be huge. There are some personalities on the Asian side, like So-Yun Yu, who's an amazing, amazing woman, very smart, very involved in charitable organizations, who, if the story gets out more, people will latch on to. But the two real big would be Michelle Wee and Lexi Thompson. If they could have big years this year during those TV talks, it would be huge.
Definitely want to talk about Michelle Wee in just a moment because she's a fascinating person to me right now. Ron Cyrak of RonCyrak.com and the Global Golf Post, rather, is our guest taking Dead Aim. But you brought up Asian players. That's often been the myopic, no one does the correct research criticism is that it's all Asian players and they don't speak English and yada, yada, yada. Look, I have watched on the men's tour people like Seve Ballesteros and Greg Norman and Nick Price, people who were not of this country, capture the imagination. And Seve captured the imagination of the American golfing public without speaking very good English. That being said, a lot of the Asian players do communicate very well. Is there one that has got that... the only word that's probably is that charisma, that they exude that charisma that perhaps they could break through to an American audience?
Well, I think there are several along those lines. I think Arya Jutanagarn really has the chance to be that kind of player because she's a power player. And, you know, it's like, Lorena Ochoa's game was in a lot of ways more exciting than Annika Sorenstam's game because she was a power player. People do love power golf, and Arya's that kind of person. And Arya and her sister, Moria, are also, their heart's in the right place. They've started a charity back in Thailand benefiting children, that they do all the right things that way. They could be very marketable on those lines. The one I mentioned before, So-Yun Yu, is very, very smart, very, very accomplished, and also somebody very community involved. And you're absolutely right about on the English language thing, virtually all the players can speak English. And that's important in LPGA because the Pro-Am is a big part of your business model. Interacting with sponsors is a big part of your business model. And a lot of the Asian players have realized it benefits their own marketing ability if they become fluent in English, and they've done that. I think Inbee Park is an amazing, amazing player who doesn't quite have the pizzazz in her personality to capture the attention and the affection of fans in a big-time way. But I do think that Jutanagarn could be that kind of player, and certainly So-Yun Yu.
Here's what Inbee Park does have. She has a putter. Outside of Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus, if I had to have one person on this planet make a putt for my life, tell me there's a worse choice or better choice than Inbee Park.
You know, there are three things that Inbee Park does really well, and a lot of recreational golfers can learn from this. She keeps her golf ball out of trouble. She keeps her composure, and she makes putts. And when you do those three things, you're going to win a lot of golf tournaments.
She makes a lot of putts. Ron Cyrak is our guest taking Dead Aim. He's of RonCyrak.com and the Global Golf Post. Two players that had tough personal years last year for periods of time, but who I've actually seen with big, broad smiles on their faces, and they seem very relaxed heading into this season, and that's Brooke Henderson and Lexi Thompson, and that also could bode well for the tour.
Yeah, those are two really key players for the tour. You know, Lexi, and I love what Lexi did. She took a month off in the middle of the season and just to try to regroup. And, you know, here's a young woman she's going to be 24 years old in February, and she's won 10 times. She's won a major championship. But she's lived her entire life in the golf bubble. And she got to a point in the middle of last season where she realized that she needed to find someplace to connect with happiness off the golf course, that you can't just keep defining your life by golf. Look, she qualified for the U.S. Women's Open when she was 12 years old.
That's what I was thinking. You told me she's 24. I started laughing. I'm like, she should be 42 at this point. I feel like we've been talking about Lexi Thompson forever.
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, it's the way age has changed in golf. I tweeted the other day, I don't know what's the more baffling statistic, the fact that Michelle Wee is going to turn 30 this year or the fact I've been covering her for 18 years. But you know, Lexi is way more grounded now. She's showing a lot of maturity. And Brooke Henderson's somebody who could really capture the imagination of people. She's absolutely fearless, particularly with the driver. In fact, for her to take a step forward, the next thing that she may need to do is to learn to be a little more strategic. You know, she'll just take the driver out on every hole and just bang it as far as she can, go find it and hit it again.
She is reminiscent of a young Phil Mickelson, to be honest with you.
Absolutely, and it's fun to watch. I mean, like Phil, you know, Phil the Thrill. It's fun to watch, and it doesn't always. But you know, Arnold Palmer played that way.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it was like, you know, you got to be who you are. You can't dial back your personality. If your personality is larger than life, you got to be larger than life. If your personality is quieter and smaller, that's who you got to be. You got to be yourself. My favorite line that we ever used in one of my Vision 54 books, I think it's a quote from George Bernard Shaw. He said, be yourself, everyone else is taken. You know, and that's a good philosophy to have.
Get you out of here on this, Ron. We've mentioned her several times, and she is my one of my most fascinating people to watch in golf this year. Michelle Wee, like Tiger Woods, is a somewhat polarizing figure. I think unfairly a lot on Michelle's case. I think a lot of venom her direction is derived from the way people disagreed with the way her father handled things when she was a young lady. By all accounts, Michelle Wee is one of the most charismatic, fun people, and charming, will charm the socks off of you if you're around her. And she's always been a prodigious talent that was also just snake bit by injuries. I think if we tried to list all of her injuries, it would sort of rival Tiger Woods' list of injuries. Where is she now physically, and what can we really expect going forward?
Yeah, you know, she's had, first off, she's allergic to just about every food on the planet. She's had injuries to about every part of her body. You know, she's almost single-handedly keeping the physio tape industry afloat. she's got physio tapes on every part of her body. And it has been a struggle. I'd love to see her have a year or two where she stays completely healthy. And I go back to, I was an early disagreeer with the path they were following with her. When she was 14 years old, I did not think she should be playing against male professionals. I thought she should have been learning how to win against kids her own age. But they chose not to go that route, and I think that set her back in a lot of ways. But you're absolutely right. She's one of the most popular players on tour. Everybody likes her. She's smart. She's funny. She's self-deprecating. And she's enormously talented. I still think that she's got one of those years in her. I think she's got a 3 or 4 win with a major year in her, and we're going to get that kind of year. When she went out and won the second tournament of the year last year, I thought, okay, here it comes, 4 wins and a major this year, and then she ends up with more surgery. So she's ready. She's ready to come back. I see on social media she's hitting balls. She's chipping, working her way back, and she's going to be ready to play soon. But it would be really, really good for the tour if they could get a couple of healthy years out of her. Again, she's been out there 18 years, but she doesn't turn 30 until October.
He is, of course, a past recipient of the PGA of America's Lifetime Achievement Award in Journalism, Ron Cyrak of ronsyrak.com and the Global Golf Post. And when we return, one of our own, Carolina native and country music superstar Chris Lane, takes dead aim at his golf addiction and his recent round at American golf's most hallowed ground. Presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We're taking dead aim, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors. Chris Lane, he's one of our own from right here in the Carolinas, a former college athlete at Charlotte, and is now a rising country music superstar. And oh yeah, he's got a big golf addiction. Chris, so I got to begin at the beginning. You were a baseball player at North Carolina Charlotte. Have you always played golf, or is it something you sort of dabbled in? And then I know as you're on the road as a country singer, everybody plays golf.
So I played football and baseball, and I did not, even though I kind of lived on a golf course growing up, I never really played that much. A, because golf is somewhat expensive, and I had no money.
Yeah, I know.
But now that I'm a singer and I have a little bit more time, some days when you're out on the road, you get a chance to go play. I caught the golf fever, man, and I literally cannot play enough. Like, it's the one thing that I'm passionate about outside of music, and if I could choose anything to do outside of singing, it would be to be a professional golfer.
I don't think people realize how much downtime you guys have when you're out on the road. And golf is a tremendous way to pass 4 to 6 hours of just this endless string of days, is it not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love, even when I'm at home in Nashville on off days, if I have a completely off day, I spend the majority of my day going to the driving range, and then I'll go play a whole round, and that's just a fun day for me.
So were you out on the road with somebody early on, and they were big golfers, and they kind of initiated you, or how did the bug get to you?
Yeah, well, I had the bug. I kind of just got it just from practicing and playing enough, and then, you know, I'd hit a few good shots here and there, and then the next time I'd do the same thing, and I just kind of felt myself progressively getting better, and I think that kind of helped me, the fact that I started getting better, that kind of helped me get the fever. But then when I was out on tour with Rascal Flatts 2 or 3 years ago, they play a lot of golf, so I was getting to play pretty much every day, and then I really got the fever, man. I started getting progressively better much faster, and then, now I just kind of do it on my own and whatnot, and I've been able to go play in some of these pro-ams. Like, I have the Waste Management coming up.
You're gonna play out in Phoenix.
Yeah, so I played last year, and on 16, the stadium hole.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
I hit the luckiest shot of my life, man. And the crowd went crazy, so I really got the fever then, and now I get to go back this year and do it again in a couple weeks.
Okay, well, this is an interesting question, because that is an amphitheater setting, and right now that setting on 16 seats, I think, between 20 and 25,000 people.
So, it's nuts.
Yeah, so you have felt the rush from the stage. You have also felt the rush on that hole for hitting a good shot, and it's a physical rush. People who have never felt it don't realize that that it actually is a physical energy that hits you in the face, and it's very, very addictive. That's why you guys keep doing what you do. Which is the bigger rush, the one from the stage, or was the rush greater on that golf shot?
I feel like it's two different energies coming at you, for sure. There's something cool, obviously, about hitting a great golf shot in front of that many people, and it definitely gets you pumped up. But I don't think anything has ever got me as pumped as coming out on the stage for the first time and the crowd going crazy, or even the sound of 15,000 people singing your song to the top of their lungs. I think there will probably be no greater rush for me than that.
Country music superstar Chris Lane is our guest taking Dead Aim. Let's go back to Rascal Flatts for a second. I have a great Rascal Flatts golf story for you.
All right.
Their very first single, Praying for Daylight, is on the charts. I'm living and working in Augusta, Georgia. They're coming in and doing a Memorial Day or Labor Day one-off thing in North Augusta, South Carolina for us. And I'm told by my program director, hey, the guys want to go play golf. Can you take them out? I said, sure. So I'm a member at a club, and I take the guys out to play golf. Well, they get off the bus, and they're wearing cutoff jeans, T-shirts, and I'm going, oh, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to work. We walk into the pro shop. Pro says, hey, man, I love these guys, and I'd love to have them play, but you know we're a private club, and we got a dress code. They can't do that. So Rascal Flatts says, no problem. So they proceed to buy golf wardrobes, all three of them.
Oh, my gosh.
At that moment, right then and there, the pro looks at me and says, man, I'm going to close up early today. This is fantastic. And so these guys, and this is when they were first getting started playing. So they're out there with price tags still hanging off their shirts, whacking it around all over this golf course. And
that is hilarious.
And I thought to myself, if these guys are doing this now, just wait till they really get the bug.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, Joe Don and Jay definitely both have the bug. Gary don't play as much as both of those guys, but they do play a lot of golf, and they go play in all the pro-ams as well, and I've done several of the pro-ams with them, and they're funny guys, but they're actually pretty good at golf.
Now, is it a quid pro quo thing at this point with you? Like, you're going to go play in the pro-am at Phoenix. Are you also doing part of the concert that they do out there?
No, last year, yes. I'd done the concert 2 years in a row, and that's initially how I kind of got hooked up with being able to do the pro-am. But this year I got invited back. I didn't have to do the concert, and I just get to go play. So I'm excited about that. So I'm going to fly out a few days early, play golf on Monday and Tuesday just as practice rounds, and then get ready to go for that Wednesday.
Country music superstar Chris Lane is our guest taking Dead Aim. All right, now the real point of this conversation. gonna sort of pull back the curtain on Oz in the world of country music and concerts in the southeastern United States. Just about everybody does some sort of charity concert at some point throughout the year. There is a radio station that I used to work for in Augusta, Georgia, that does theirs in November. And if you will ever look at the lineup for this concert, it rivals the lineup of any concert year in, year out on any festival in the world. People scratch their head and go, how are they able to do that? Well, as someone who helped start that concert, it's because I know that that particular station has some access to some people who wear green jackets, and yep, they have the ability to get someone on one of the most hallowed places in our sport, and that is Augusta National Golf Club. And I understand, through a little bird, that one Chris Lane got to test it out this year.
I did, man. What a show to go play, obviously. But, yeah, to be able to go play at Augusta National, that was actually my second time that I played there, which is really cool just to get to do it one time, but to do it two times now, and to kind of get to experience that. I even got to take my brother this time. The first time around, I was in the doghouse with him for for a couple years because I didn't get to take him the first time I did it. But this time around, I got to take him with me, and that was kind of special as well.
Jake Owen was the same way. He was in the doghouse with his dad, and so the next time that he went and played it, he got to take his dad with him. So describe your experience. Isn't it amazing to actually pull in the main gate at Magnolia Lane and be allowed to drive up there?
Man, it is. I mean, so I have plenty of videos that I'm not allowed to post.
That's right.
but yeah, no, it certainly is special. I mean, I've watched it on TV for all these years, and to know the history behind it and everything that goes into it, yes, it's spectacular. And I mean, everything's immaculate. It's like perfect out there.
It really is.
For people who have never played it before, surprisingly, it's actually not that hard of a course to play. I think the thing that makes it difficult are obviously the greens, but I mean, for the most part, you can play fairway to fairway. You don't have to hit absolutely the best best tee shot to get to the green and two, you know what I mean?
Well, so, even the quote-unquote second cut was something that Jones never intended, and so it is not overly penal at all. The one thing that when I've played it, and I wanted to get your reaction on it, is we're so used to the way it looks on TV during the Masters with the grandstands and the towers and the people. And it's striking to me the first time you see Augusta National, and it's just Augusta National.
Yep, that's very, very true. It's much different without the stadium. The first time I played it was a couple weeks before the Masters, maybe 3 weeks before the Masters.
Oh, so they had everything already set up, yeah.
They had everything out and set up, but this past time, yeah, without any of that stuff, was much different. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Country music superstar Chris Lane is our guest taking Dead Aim, talking about his recent round at Augusta National Golf Club. The other thing that I think would surprise people, or maybe not, is it's almost an exclusively out-of-town membership, so there aren't a great number of people at any given time at the facility or on the golf course, and by a great many people, I'm willing to bet that there may have been your group playing golf and then maybe one other group for the entire day.
Yeah, well, see, a lot of the country artists went and played that day.
Oh, okay, so you were out there.
There were a handful of groups the day that I went out there, but I think the first time I was out there, Tom Brady was out there.
Did you get an autograph? Did you say, hi, I'm Chris Lane?
No, I never walked over there and said anything.
So there are people that even someone of your status, you're still kind of in awe of?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. There's so many.
Wow. All right.
Especially when it comes to sports. I mean, being such a big sports fan, I get that way a lot.
And that's so weird because I bet you a vast majority of those guys would be like, so thrilled to meet you, and it would make your day.
Yeah, I've tried making friends with a lot of the Panthers players over the last couple of years. Now that I'm starting to get some notoriety, makes it a little bit easier to do that. But yeah, I mean, even just guys that I look up to and guys that I watch on Sundays that I love a lot, I definitely get a little nervous, like I would around guys that I really love a lot in country music.
So back to Augusta National. I remember you said you've played it twice. I remember the first time I played it, I stupidly started just playing golf. Like I just got into playing the game, and all of a sudden I'm walking across the Sarazen Bridge on 15, and it hit me, oh my God, this thing is almost over. And I didn't smell the flowers. I didn't take pictures. You know, I didn't do anything. And I was like, have I wasted this opportunity? And luckily, like you, I got a second chance and a couple of more chances to actually go play it. But did you have that same experience, or the first time and second time you took advantage of, oh, my God, this is where I am. I'm going to take pictures. I'm going to do everything.
Yeah, well, they make you keep your cell phone in the car. I think the first time around, they actually took – the guy that took us to play, he actually took photos on like a, I don't know, a disposable camera. Which
wow.
I haven't seen one of those in a long time.
Wow.
But, so, yeah, we had to wait to get them developed and stuff like that, and it kind of was a process of getting it on my phone. But I remember posting up a photo, and then I got an immediate phone call saying not allowed to post the photos, so I had to take it down off my social media and stuff like that. But, yeah, I think in the moment I tried taking it in as much as possible, but at the same time, you know, you're out there and you're like, man, I can't believe I'm actually playing this, and it's easy to just to play your round. And for me, I was making sure that I didn't suck because I wanted to be able to go back and do it again.
So looking back on the experience this second time, this most recent time, what was your favorite hole or holes? What was your favorite experience, the best part of your round? Where did it occur?
Well, I had several birdie attempts that I missed. I don't think I made a whole single birdie that day, but surprisingly, I played not too bad. And I think for me, finding the fairway on 99% of the fairways that day was probably like when I left, I'm like, dang, man, I hit the ball well all day long. I think that for me was fun. But you can't around the, was it Amen Corner? Is that what they call it?
11, 12, and 13, yes.
Yeah, I really tried to take those in, and I mean, those holes are special. So I really love that par three there. Is it 15?
That's
maybe?
13 is the, or excuse me, 12 yeah, is 13. The, 12 is the famous par three, and then 13 is the par five.
Yeah. So I really love 12 there, the par three. That's such a cool hole.
Get you out of here on this. Country music superstar Chris Lane, our guest taking Dead Aim. You recently played Augusta National. You may not be able to post it on social media, but you can tell me now. What'd you shoot?
That day I shot at 84.
That's a very respectable number for Augusta National.
I put everything out. There was no gimmies, no pickups, no nothing. So I wanted to know exactly what I was going to shoot. Like, I don't care how close it was in the hole. I wanted to make sure I put it out because I just wanted to know, especially going into a lot of these pro-ams. I mean, a lot of times you have to make your putts, and I always practice trying to make them no matter how far out I am. So there was no pickups on that one.
You didn't have to buy your brother a Christmas present, did you? That covered it, right?
That covered it, no doubt about it.
That's country music superstar Chris Lane. By the way, if you're in the Charlotte area on Saturday, January 19th, he's performing at Coyote Joe's. And up next, from fansided.com, Ron Mintz takes Dead Aim at the PGA Tour this week in Palm Springs, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors. We are taking Dead Aim, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors. And joined now by Ron Mintz, the go-to golf guy at fansided.com. Ron, what is it about this game of golf that you can be a player like Matt Kuchar, literally a human ATM machine, but you don't win for years and years and years at a time, and then all of a sudden you win twice within a couple of months?
I wondered about that before he started winning, and after he won last week, he talked about, and I don't know who got on to him, but they more or less said, you've got to start working at your game. You just can't go out there every week. And so he's really been grinding and practicing in off season and addressed some issues, and his game shows it. So I think he's rededicated himself at a late age, but it's paid off.
You know what I think is kind of an unwritten thing, and I don't think it's overrated to state this. I saw Matt's two boys with him on the green, and they're still small, but they're not babies anymore. And I think that we all go through this in life. I think that once your family life is more settled, he perhaps didn't have the time to practice that he normally would have liked to because he needed to and wanted to be there with his wife with these two small boys. But now that they're a little more manageable, maybe he's able to spend more time working on his game.
Well, he did say that they were one of the major motivations for him trying to get better because every week he would come home now that they know what he does. They would say, Daddy, did you win? And he always said no. And so this was the first time they had ever seen him win, and they were there in person, which made it even more special.
Ron, this week is I can't get past it. To me, it's always the Hope, you know, the Chrysler Bob Hope Desert Classic or whatever. And I got to thinking about this golf tournament that this is, you know, tournaments go in cycles. We've all seen great tournaments. I mean, Hilton Head was in huge trouble for a long time. The tournament in Cromwell, Connecticut was in trouble for a long time. Closer to home, the Wyndham was in trouble for a long, long time. And those tournaments have been able to rebound and return to glory. This was once a five-round event, a pro-am that was on par celebrity-wise with what happens in Pebble Beach, only it always had great weather. And now, goodness gracious, did I see only three of like the top 20 in the world are there?
That's correct. Justin Rose, John Rahm, and Cantlay, I believe. There's like 12 in the top 30 in FedEx, but only three in the top 30 in the World Golf Rankings. You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I was watching an old episode of the Johnny Carson Show last night from 1981, And Bob Hope was on there, and they were having the tournament that week. He said he just came from the course, and he said Bruce Litsky shot a 61 that day and was the leader. And, of course, the first thing I thought of was, you know, Bruce passed away of cancer last year. But then he mentioned Jack Nicklaus giving him tips on the practice range, and I thought the same thing, Charlie. I mean, it used to be that with the Crosby were my two favorite events to watch.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned Nicklaus always played. Palmer always played. Palmer stayed at Bob Hope's house when he was out there playing that tournament. And it was, like I said, it was a five-day Pro-Am event. And I just wonder, you know, I worry about tournaments like this because I think they mean a lot to the history of the tour, and I want to see them propped up. I just don't know what can be done, especially with the way we're going to see this a lot, I think, with the new tour schedule. We're going to see players who normally would play in tournaments not playing because they're saving themselves for the stretch run later in the year, don't you think?
Oh, exactly. Look at Phil Mickelson. He has played in 28 or 24 straight farmers tournaments, never missed one. It's in his hometown. And he still hasn't committed, and as we talk.
He has until tomorrow as we talk.
Yeah, tomorrow at 5 o'clock. And his comment was, he said, he won't be able to play in tournaments like he used to. He said, I might have to skip a lot of the tournaments that people probably will get upset because I've always played in them, but I can't play as much as I used to. He says, I'm able to play at a high level, but it's difficult with that physical and mental sharpness. It doesn't come easy anymore. He said, I need more time to recover. So you go see Phil cutting his schedule, and I've heard the same from other players.
One day we may know or we may not. Do you? I have a theory, and I know that you've kind of felt this way too. The arthritis affects Phil a lot more than we're aware of.
Yeah, I think it does. And I hate to say this, but he endorses the medicine he takes. And I think some of the reason he doesn't say more about it is because of that. And, you know, I can't blame him. But, yeah, I think he goes through a lot more pain than we even know. When he first came down with it, you could really tell. Now, he's gotten a lot better, but you don't ever really get rid of it. So, yeah, I think Phil probably has as much trouble getting around as Tiger does.
Ron Mintz is the golf guy with Fansided.com. He's our guest taking Dead Aim. Going on at the same time as a tournament in the Middle East in Abu Dhabi, where the appearance money is big and sometimes the names that show up are big. Where do you stand on players chasing appearance fees versus loyalty to a tour? I bring that up because in the middle of the night, I get up and see Brooks Koepka and DJ playing in Abu Dhabi, and I'm thinking, wouldn't you guys be better served to be playing, you know, in the desert this week?
Well, you're right. I mean, money's a big thing, and I've always said follow the money and you'll find the answer, and that's the case. They're not playing very well so far. Two rounds as we talk, and Dustin's 45th, and Brooks is way back in seventh. So that I want to see how they both played because we haven't seen them in a while. A lot of people are predicting both of them in one majors this year, so I don't know if we can judge them on Abu Dhabi. Now, Brooks Koepka came out this week and said he prefers to play the European Tour more than the PGA Tour.
Well, that's where he cut his teeth. I remember distinctly he and Pete Uihlein being roommates together.
Yeah, he did. He couldn't get a status on the PGA Tour, went the European Tour route and loved it. So, and that's why he's done so well. He can travel. He said he has learned how to deal with time changes and jet lag and all that. So he can win anywhere.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess I should retract this a little bit. I have no problem with someone chasing, you know, if someone's going to pay you $1 million to get off the plane, by all means, take $1 million to get off the plane. Again, I just want to try to prop up this tournament in the desert because I just have a fear of it going away. I mean, if you don't have star power of players, you're not going to have star power of sponsor. You don't have star power of sponsor, you no longer have a golf tournament. And I just think, you know, Palm Springs has been a cornerstone of the PGA Tour for for so long, I would just like to see it remain. Fansided.com's golf guy, Ron Mintz, our guest taking Dead Aim. We mentioned Phil hadn't yet committed to the Farmers. A familiar name did commit to the Farmers. It looks like we're finally going to get our first glimpse in 2019 of Tiger Woods next week.
Yeah, Tiger, of course, and we all knew that, unless something really bad was wrong with him, he wouldn't miss Torrey. He's won their won the Farmers seven times and won the U.S. Open in 2008 there. So that's like his home course. And, of course, Rory committed late yesterday as well. So they've got a major field going there next week.
I'm amused by Rory McIlroy committing to tournaments to make his wife happy. She'd never been to the Hawaii tournament, so he commits to that. Now they're going to spend a week on the coast of San Diego, so he commits to that. I mean, this is a guy that really knows how to play the game well.
That's what he said last year. He didn't hide it. He said, my wife and I looked at the schedule, and I picked out places she had never been or wanted to visit. And, I mean, I don't know. But he also says now he wants to be number one again. He's been back and forth. When he was number one, he loved it. When he dropped out, he said, no, it's not that big a deal.
Right, and it didn't mean that much to him.
And Jason Day said the same thing. He dropped out. Now he wants to get back. Dustin wants it back. So the World Golf Rankings is like musical chairs right now. They're just going back and forth, and they're so tightly bunched up there, there's no telling who's going to be number one each week.
Well, and don't you feel like I do that the talent at the top is so good, and there's so many that can do it, that we're not going to – I think if we're expecting a Tiger Woods-like run of years and years at number one, there's nobody who's like that. I think we just need to get used to a new paradigm of there's going to be about five or six that are the best player in the world.
Well, the ones you're going to see on there are the ones that win the majors or the WGCs, because they pay the most points. I mean, 500 points versus – 50-some points for winning the Tournament of Champions. So majors give you so many more points in the golf rankings. And, you know, that's how Brooks jumped up there and Dustin. And so I think you'll see the major winners dominate the world golf rankings.
Ron, back to Tiger for a second. He's committed to two tournaments and two tournaments only so far. His event, the LA Open, which he's never won and never even really contended at Riviera, never plays that course well, but of course it benefits his foundation. So he's all in there. And Torrey Pines, Torrey, he's had great success. But I have heard arguments, and I've listened to them, that perhaps at this point in his career, Torrey Pines, especially Torrey South, is a monster of a golf course at this point. And, you know, at 43, maybe Tiger should think about skipping some of these monsters and take a cue from what happened last year in Tampa. Get these courses that are a little smaller that he can handle with his irons, and he would have greater success.
Well, that's what Davis Love told him. And Davis is the one that convinced him to play at the Wyndham back in 2015 when he finished 10th. In it, trying to a last-ditch effort to get in the FedEx playoffs, but he didn't make it. And then we didn't see him for a year after he had another surgery. But I agree. I mean, he's still having trouble with the driver, and there are a lot of courses out there. Hilton Head, for instance, I don't think he's ever played there. And
Played one time.
Yeah. That's where you hit iron off the tees. You can hit irons at the Wyndham. It's a Donald Ross course, and he may have to join the Brian Gay, Luke Donald tour.
I'm not ready to put – look, I think I hit the ball as far as Luke Donald. I'm not ready to put Tiger with those guys.
Well, they're great ball strikers, but they just don't hit
for them. Ron Mintz is the golf guy with fansided.com. He is banishing Tiger to the ladies' tees, taking dead aim.
Well, not quite. I mean, he's still hitting 300 yards. Where it's going.
He's our guest taking dead aim. Get you out of here on this. Thank you for bringing up Davis Love, because I wanted to talk with you about this. I think quietly, this was a great story last week. Davis Love was within a few putts dropping for him on Saturday and Sunday of being right there with a chance to win in Hawaii at 54.
Exactly. And guess where he's at right now?
He's in Singapore.
He's in Singapore trying to win, because that's an official qualifier for the Open Championship, and he wants to get in the Open. He passed up playing with the Champions Tour in Hawaii at the Mitsubishi this weekend to fly all the way to Singapore So you tell me he's quitting. He's going to probably be the oldest winner ever on the PGA Tour. Sam Snead won when he was 52. Davis is 54.
Well, you and I talked about this. He owns Hilton Head. He's played great in Greensboro. If he gets hot either one of those 2 weeks, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Well, he's had so many injuries, hip replacements, and then he broke his leg or his ankle skiing, and I think he's probably quit doing all those things. And now that his son is on tour, he wants to and I think you and I talked about this. He wants to play with him.
Yeah, I think that's the major motivation. Drew is on the web.com tour, and they're both over in Singapore, both trying to qualify for the Open Championship because, you know, look, at this point, Davis is 54. I can't off the top of my head remember how many times, if any, that he's really contended at the Open Championship. So I don't think it's about winning that title. I think it's about the experience of playing a major championship with your son by your side. And who can blame him for that?
Nobody. Is Drew qualified? Do you know, or if he's in, or
I do not. I think they're both over there trying to accumulate enough. You know, international. There's so many different ways you can qualify for the Open Championship that I think they're trying to map out a way to get it done.
Well, I applaud him, and I also heard today that Steve Stricker is weighing playing more on the PGA Tour this year than the Champions Tour. Last year, he won over $1 million in Champions Tour and only about $500,000 on the PGA Tour, but he feels he can still win on the PGA Tour. And he asked Davis, and he talked to Vijay about it, and both of them says you need to pick one and concentrate on that one and then maybe throw in a couple or the other, but you can't do both equally. You've got to just dominate or concentrate on one of the tours. But, when Steve tees it up on the tour, he's still very respectable.
Yeah, because he can putt. If you can putt, Steve Stricker hits it straight, hits great wedges, and can putt. And there are courses on the PGA Tour that if you can do those three things, you can bank a couple of big checks.
Absolutely. So, and he said it wasn't about the money. He just said he felt like if I can still compete on the major tour, which the PGA Tour is, he said, I want to do that. And he said, I can always go to the Champions Tour later. So we may see more Stricker. I know we'll see more Davis. And Vijay would like to, although he didn't play good last week, missed the cut pretty bad. So we'll see.
From fansided.com, that's Ron Mintz. I'd also like to thank country music superstar Chris Lane. He's performing at Coyote Joe's on Saturday, January 19th. So if you're in town, check that out. And Ron Cyrak of ronsyrak.com and the Global Golf Post for their time and insight this week. A reminder, should you just be catching the last little bit of the show and wonder what all we've covered today, hey, no worries. Just subscribe to the Taking Dead Aim podcast at Apple Podcasts, and it will automatically download to the device of your choice. Most weeks, just minutes after this terrestrial radio version of the show finishes airing. Additionally, a great way to stay in the loop with us is to be a regular consumer of our Facebook page. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Just search Taking Dead Aim. Currently featured there, articles on Jordan Spieth's latest struggles on the course and the grassy new golf shoes from Nike. Weather-wise, hey, good luck getting your golf on this weekend in the Carolinas. The weather gods are plotting against letting this game continue to haunt your soul and break your heart. But if somehow you are able to put a peg in the ground, remember to exhale, swing, pose, and keep it in the short grass. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter, at @CLT_golfguy. And I'll see you right here next week, Taking Dead Aim, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.